central bank digital currencies, digital IDs, artificial intelligence, and big tech surveillance. What does our digital future really look like? Join me, Alastair Harding, for a look into our digital future every Wednesday on Paul Brennan's Breakfast Show, right here on Reality Check Radio. Last Friday night, the world, including little old New Zealand, suffered a global internet outage. And it was a great reminder that when we digitize everything, we're actually making ourselves rather vulnerable. So now I'd like to talk about the vulnerabilities of a digital monetary system. Because if there was one thing on everybody's lips on Friday after that outage, it was cash is king. And so to talk about that, I have with me now regular RCR contributor Stephen Sykes. Stephen's a regular on Paul's Tech Tuesdays, and since it's Tuesday, he's here with me today to talk about what happened last Friday and the implications for our CBDC that the Reserve Bank is developing for as early as 2030, and what all of those things mean for our digital future. So, Stephen, good to have you. Let's start with what happened on Friday.
Well, for a lot of people, it was a bad day, and since then, it seems like there are two types of IT people. There are those that are fixing Windows computers with CrowdStrike, and then there's those IT people who are making memes about CrowdStrike. So basically, what had happened is that an update got pushed through to CrowdStrike, which caused everybody a bad day. And to sort of go over as to why this kind of happened is that CrowdStrike is a piece of software designed to track malware and to stop it from infecting a system. So by malware, I mean malicious software, software that's up to no good. And CrowdStrike, their Falcon sensor application, is designed to detect and thwart that in its tracks. The trouble with this is that for such a system to work effectively, it must really have its fingers or it hooks into the deep part of the operating system. And this way, it sort of gets into a privileged area of the operating system, and it has to do that in order to work effectively. And then things went bad, and that caused the operating system, if you were running Windows and you had CrowdStrike, to crash. Now, the reason it crashed is because the system sort of got compromised by the bad update. And crashing was actually the most sensible thing to do, because if the computer continued to operate in a corrupted state, then it wouldn't know what was true anymore. So if you were trying to, you know, save work, for example, then it would potentially save corrupted files, and then you could lose further work because it wouldn't know what was true anymore, what was right.
How many people suffered from this? It was all over the world. It wasn't just in New Zealand, was it? How do we know by now how many people suffered under this problem?
I haven't seen numbers as to an estimate, but I would say it would be in the hundreds of thousands, if not more than that.
How about money? How about money? Do we know how much it cost the world economy?
Well, CNN reported costs of around $1 billion.
Is this a reminder of perhaps the dangers of digitizing everything in our lives?
I think it is. It's another reminder, and we need these reminders from time to time. Unfortunately, the more things like this are digitized and relied upon to always work, the greater the risk and the greater the impact will be when they fail. Solutions must be diverse, in my opinion, and in the sense that this is where cash does reign supreme, because transactions can still occur, assuming, of course, the supermarket didn't decide to close its doors anyway.
So, okay, well, let's get on to that subject. So if New Zealand ended up having a CBDC, and let's face it, almost every country in the world right now is developing a CBDC, the New Zealand Reserve Bank promises us that they're not doing away with physical cash. But what impact is it going to have, is this kind of thing going to have, if suddenly our main form of currency is a CBDC. Does that mean that our money just wouldn't work?
Potentially, yeah. It could just be inaccessible for a time, depending on how everything is constructed together. And at the same time, if money is, or should I say, CBDCs are lost, if you have a snapshot in time as to various people's CBDCs balances, then you could simply restore to that state. But of course, if you can restore to a previous state when it comes to financial bank balances, for example, then that would highlight the fact that CBDCs can be manipulated however anyone sees fit.
But an outage like this wouldn't mean that people would lose their money from their accounts. It'd just mean that they couldn't access them. That would be what it would be, wouldn't it?
For this particular example, yes. This is a particular example, of course, but the CrowdStrike software, because it didn't affect everything, because other people would be have been running a competing piece of software. So maybe instead of CrowdStrike's Falcon, they could have been running Microsoft's Defender, which is Microsoft's equivalent to the CrowdStrike software.
And of course, all the Bitcoiners and everybody else out there who's saying that they've got a better idea than CBDCs, this would affect Bitcoin and all the other cryptocurrencies just the same, wouldn't it?
It depends if you've got a hardware wallet. You can have your cryptocurrencies in a hardware wallet, which again is another piece of digital hardware. But if you've got your crypto stored in something like that, then that's a digital version of a wallet where we put cash into. So if you have your crypto there, then you wouldn't lose it.
But you still wouldn't be able to use it during an outage.
Potentially, yes. I mean, you could pay someone person to person, but in terms of actually buying food, that's a different kettle of fish.
Okay, how common are these outages? Is this the first time it's happened? I always remember around the year 2000, there was the Y2K bug that we all were worried about at the time, and a lot of people have commented on this was actually what we were all scared about happening, and now it's finally happened 24 years after that fact. Is this the first time it's happened, or do outages like this happen all the time?
A lot of outages do happen. I mean, particularly on a daily basis, it seems there are data breaches happening left, right, and center where all your information gets stolen. And I've talked about that ad nauseum, I think, on Tech Tuesdays, and why sticking all your fingers in the digital pie is not a good idea, at least in somebody else's digital pie. And I mean, the Y2K thing in some aspects happened before the year 2000 occurred. Even it happened in 1999 when various financial systems that were trying to make projections for the successive year failed because, well, after 99 becomes 00. So, sorry, can't do predictions for the year 2000. And then there was, in fact, when this all went down, the first thing that I thought of was in 1997, the naval ship, the USS Yorktown, was it's meant to be a smart naval vessel, ended up dead in the water, not because someone blew it up, but because an operator entered in a zero into a database, which then propagated through the rest of the system, including the propulsion systems, and the ship was quite literally incapacitated. And Windows NT back then, that's what all later versions of Windows really are. It's under the bonnet. And NT stands for new technology, and it collected the nickname Needs Towing, because the vessel quite literally had to be towed back into port because it just wouldn't run. And but that was simply because the system did a divide by zero operation.
But hold on, that was a smart vessel, you said?
That's how it was labeled.
A smart vessel using new technology, and it ended up being towed back into port. How ironic was that?
Yeah, so as a result, the Navy decided, okay, we need to go about things differently.
Okay, do we need to start thinking about doing things differently? I mean, is it wise for us to be, we're digitizing our lives in every which way at the moment. And when I look at what the Reserve Bank's doing with the CBDC, that's just another digitization, a part of digitizing our lives. What are we doing? Are we doing the right thing?
I think that it would be wise to, for example, if you were investing in the stock market, you wouldn't stick necessarily all your money into a single investment just in case it tanked. You would diversify where you invested. So I think trying to push everything into a digital system is not a good idea. Case in point, what we've been talking about. And I think that, well, I've made the personal observation, I'm sure a lot of people have too, is that the more we digitize, the more disconnected from each other as human beings we become. I mean, yes, it allows us to have conversations across great distances, but there is something much better about, you know, meeting up with friends and over drinks or whatever, and just talking and just being people, just being human and socializing. But you don't tend to get that naturally in a digital environment. The length and the breadth of the human connection can never be as good as it could be unless you were there face to face, in my view.
Okay, so what happens now with this internet outage? Has it been fixed yet, or how long is it going to take, and will it happen again?
The nature of the problem when it caused a Windows machine running CrowdStrike to crash and blue screen of death, in order to disable it, you needed to start the operating system up in the safe mode. Now, and then you needed to rename a file to prevent it from operating and then start it up. This is roughly equivalent to putting a person on the operating table, cutting them open, fixing something, stitching them back up, and then sending them home with a box of lemonade popsicles. And you have to do that to every single machine. You can't just mass roll out a solution, because you can't do that when the machine is effectively died. So you need to take it back to a bare bones environment and tinker with files. Now, I hope that lessons will be learned around how Windows is created. And because, interestingly, CrowdStrike also runs on Linux systems as well. And as one of my roles is I oversee various Linux servers that are running CrowdStrike, and they were completely unaffected.
So is there anything deeper to this? Is it just simply a mistake that happened across the board around the world, or is there something more to it?
It is yet another reminder of, I believe, people not quite doing what they're supposed to be doing. We've been here in the sense whereby we had a few years ago now a system, well, not a system, but it was a situation that was nicknamed Meltdown, which was a software component typically used in websites. I think it was Log4j, a Java library or something like that. And a lot of websites around the world use this. And the person who did the code for it or modified the code, it was reviewed by someone else. And that someone else did not see the nature of the exploit that he'd accidentally introduced. Similarly, at CrowdStrike, it's not just something that fell at the feet of a single person, because they have a whole bunch of teams, you know, verifying all this stuff to make sure that this kind of thing is not supposed to happen. Because that's the irony here, is that CrowdStrike, being something to detect malware, ended up becoming the malware. So It's supposed to stop malware from happening, yet it was the very thing that caused the problem that malware creates.
It also tells me that what we're talking about here is we're talking about human fallibility, because all of these things are they're coded by human beings, and it takes humans to actually look at them and quality control them to make sure that they're going to work as they needed to. Would the likes of AI have stopped this kind of problem happening?
People need to remember that AI at the end of the day is a tool. And if I recall correctly, the historian Martin Kranzenberg, is that his name, in 1985 said that technology is neither good nor evil, nor is it neutral. So an AI system could have potentially reviewed the code, the update that was going to be pushed out, and could have potentially said, hey, what you've done here is going to cause problems.
Mm.
Potentially it could have stopped that, but we'll never know.
So what does this say about relying blindly on technology, Stephen?
I think there's a point in time where, and I think this is a thing about cognitive dissonance, whereby you need to accept that other people who might be in my field, for example, whereby expertise, you need to drop it because it doesn't serve you anymore. And by way of example, I watched a keynote speaker at the LCA conference 2020 on the Gold Coast by Dr. Sean Brady, and he gave an excellent talk as to when does expertise have a downside. And he gave examples, for example, talking about smoke jumpers. Now, smoke jumpers, I think this was back in, this was in the 40s or something like that. I can't remember the exact time frame. They would jump out of an aeroplane with parachutes on, with the firefighting tools, and their purpose was to try and stop a scrub fire before it became too massive. And these were typically in hard-to-access remote locations. He gave an example whereby on this particular day, most of the men died, apart from one of them, because of the wind conditions and the fire took off, and they were no longer firefighters anymore. Instead, what they were people running for their lives.
Mm.
However, as a firefighter, you've got all your heavy equipment to carry. You've got axes and goodness knows what else with you. At what point do you have to say, I need to drop my tools and just run? My tools are here to help me fight a fire, but I can't. My tools are ineffective. They're no longer good. I need to just drop them and hightail it out of there, because the tools wear you down. So at some point we need to go, okay, this isn't working out, and we need to wind things back a bit.
Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today to give us your thoughts on the internet outage that we all experienced on Friday. Luckily, I didn't experience it because I'm on a Mac, but next time maybe I won't be so lucky.
Now, I'm using Linux, and also I was able to sit back with a bowl of popcorn and watch things play out.
Awesome. Thanks, Stephen. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.